There's a thought in this verse that I want to present to you tonight. It's verse 27. And there's one word especially that I want to just deal with or to bring out. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It's written here, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." I want to think tonight on the subject of judgment. Now, we know here that this verse of scriptures Paul is dealing with has perhaps a twofold aspect. When we read this, we think about a person dying and then having to stand before God because of their sins. There is also the aspect of where, of course, when a person dies that is unsaved, they will have to stand at the great white throne judgment. But there is the aspect that when a person dies that is saved, they will stand, of course, at the judgment seat of Christ. But I believe that the Bible teaches that there is a judgment of God that is before even death. The Word of God clearly defines that the judge of any judgment that is in the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the judge. At one time or another, every man or every person is going to have to appear before this judge. If you'll look with me in the book of John, and there in the fifth chapter of the book of John, and I'm going to read from verse 25 down through verse 30, and it says this: "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, you know, I've mentioned that several times, I've preached lately, verse 24 and 25. "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." Now look at this real closely. "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." We know the Bible teaches there's two resurrections. It is not a general resurrection, but it's the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. "I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge." Now Jesus is speaking. "And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." Jesus said, when he was speaking of himself and talking about the Father, he said that the Word of God declares that he hath given him authority to execute judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ is the just judge. And any judgment that is meted out will be meted out by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this of himself, and he made it, and he used the pronoun I. He said, "I judge, and my judgment is just." In other words, Jesus Christ is speaking himself. But now tonight, I want us to think about three judgments that have to do with the saved. Now, I'm not talking about any kind of a judgment that has to do with the unsaved, but three judgments that have to do with the saved. Now, there is a judgment that, first of all, is the judgment of our sins. Now, that has to do with the penalty, or that has to do with the payment of our sins. the sins of the believer has been judged. They have every one been judged. All of our sins have been judged. The Apostle Peter, and of course we know the one that is the one that took care of that. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter, and there in chapter 3, and in verse 18. Now if you'll notice, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Now look what he says. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. In the same chapter that I read and got the word, or drew out the word judgment in Hebrews 9:27. The preceding verse, or the verse right ahead of verse 27, in verse 26 says this: for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, the judgment of our sins was taken care of there at Calvary. In other words, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. I realize that there is no payment for sin other than the payment that God designed, that God ordained. I've recently tried to emphasize this when someone would say, well, you know, they're paying for their sins. No, they're suffering the consequences of their sins. We suffer the consequences of sin. The only payment that has ever been made for sin, Jesus Christ did it there at Calvary. Christ assumed the liability of our sins. He was liable for our sins there at Calvary. The Apostle Peter also said, we noticed in chapter 2 and in verse 24 of 1 Peter, it says this: who his own self bear our sins, or he bore our sins, or he assumed the liability of our sins, or for our sins, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So there has been the judgment of our sins. Our sins were judged in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he paid the full price and he paid the full penalty of our sins. I believe that when Paul spoke of the gospel, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, you know these verses, and we read them often, and it all depends on what you're thinking, what subject you're thinking of, and how the Holy Spirit brings these thoughts out to us. But when he wrote there in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and he wrote in that verse 3 and verse 4, it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now notice what he said: how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you'll go on to the 20th verse, and you'll see that he not only died, but he was risen and he ascended and glorified. For look in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. All that receive Jesus Christ are saved because of the cross of Calvary and Jesus dying there for our sins, paying the penalty for our sins. In the epistle of 1 John, and this is a verse that I, years ago I heard a preacher when he preached from this passage of scripture, and when he came along to these to this verse, he said what I like to do, and he said, I'm not trying to change the word of God, but if you look at that 12th verse and notice it with me, he said, I write unto you, and there's the words little children, and he said this. He said, I like to put my name there. And you know, if you're saved by the grace of God, you can do that. If you're saved by the grace of God, that this verse applies to you. And John said, I write unto you little children, notice, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. In other words, the penalty of our sins was paid. If you'll just back up to the first chapter, turn over one page in my Bible, and if you'll notice in verse 7, it says this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The penalty of our sins was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. There was only one sacrifice by our great high priest, and Paul brings that out in Hebrews 10:12. I was reading something in devotion and all, and reading something else, and in that verse 7, if you've just noticed it, you know, one of the things that it was brought out said, you know, it's only as you walk in the light that you have true fellowship. You know, if you're saved by the grace of God, and I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I'm just going to mention this. If you're saved by the grace of God and not walking in the light, you're out of fellowship. You're out of fellowship with the Lord. And probably one of the most miserable things for any child of God is to be out of fellowship with the Lord. I mean, who's miserable is that person, that individual? But the idea or the thought that I want to see and express here is the judgment of our sins or the penalty of our sins was paid through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first judgment is the judgment of our sins, and that has to do with the saved. But then, and of course, staying right there in that first chapter of 1 John, the second judgment I want us to think about is the judgment of self. Now, there is a sense in the Word of God as to where that we judge ourselves. And even said that we be not judged. If we would judge ourselves. Now I realize and know that, as I've read here in 1 John chapter 1, this has to do with fellowship. The judgment of our sins at Calvary had to do with the penalty, the payment of the penalty. But the judgment of self has to do with fellowship. This is the believer's individual and daily responsibility to judge ourselves. And I believe it's found right here in this verse, in these verses, in the first chapter of 1 John, verse 8 and verse 9. And here's part of this judgment. If we say that we have no sin. Now, if there's anything that we need to judge in ourselves is sin. We need to recognize when we have sinned. And we need to recognize what that sin is. Now look, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So now in the judgment of self, in order to have fellowship, first of all, we must see our sin. We must recognize that there's sin in our life. I know I've had some in the last few months have come to me, had various problems and things, and they wanted, and they came to me for advice or counsel. And the thing that I've told them is, the thing that I usually tell people, first of all, what you need to do is to confess your sins. You need to practice 1 John 1:9. Did you know a lot of our problems would be solved immediately if we just practice these two verses, verse 8 and verse 9? The thing that is so hard for us to do, it's easy, seem like, for us to judge other people. It seems like it's real easy for me to look at Brother Bobby and say, well, I can see some things wrong in his life. I don't know why he don't correct them. You know, it seems real easy to do that. And sometimes this can be with husband and wife, or it can be in the family and things like this. And what we need to do is we need to carry out these verses here. And so what I usually say to a person like this is well, first of all, practice 1 John 1:9. Now, I had a person a few months ago come to me, and you know, they had some problems thing, and I said, well, now I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, and what you need to do is just practice 1 John 1:9. And he said, well, what? I said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I said, that is the beginning. That is the beginning of us always working out our problems, is the judgment of self. Boy, you can look at somebody else and you can see the faults of somebody else. But there needs to be the judgment of self. And so what we need to do, first of all, we need to recognize that there's sin in our life. And if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, there is every day, to some degree, sin in your life that you must acknowledge and that you must confess. And so he said, if we confess our sins, first you've got to acknowledge there's sin to confess it. Acknowledge it, and then if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'll tell you what that'll do. That will change your outlook. That will change your way of thinking. And it'll even change, even to a degree, your feeling toward other people. It'll change your feelings toward them. So I believe that we must judge ourselves in the light of God's Word. One place that we're admonished to do this is when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and what he said over there in 1 Corinthians 11, if you want to look at this. And of course, what he had to say here was in verse 31. And this, of course, had to do with the deal and to do with the Lord's Supper there. And he said this. There's several judgments in this verse. There's the judgment of self, and then there's the judgment that the church must mete out. He said in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if we would recognize our sin, what if every person that has been saved by the grace of God and a member of a New Testament Baptist church and they're overtaken by sin or sin comes in their life, what if they themselves would judge that sin or recognize that sin and confess that sin? There would never be any discipline. There would never be any need of any discipline. And so what we find is, I believe, the judgment of self is a very important judgment. And to have true fellowship, first of all, with God, and then to have fellowship one with another, there must be a judgment of self. I believe in this. What we do is, when there's a judgment of self, we separate ourselves from sin. If you will look with me over a few pages in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I know that what he is speaking of here, and sometimes it's so hard for us when it comes down to us individually, or sometimes when it comes down to someone in our family, it seemingly by nature it's hard for us to have the right perspective on things. But he says here in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now notice, what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now we're admonished, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, notice, let us cleanse ourselves. Now, you say, what do you mean? We have to judge ourselves. We have to see sin and judge ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. How's it come? Well, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there is the responsibility. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are, I believe, in the judgment of self to live godly. I thought that Brother Bomber covered this real good. And I'm just going to read it tonight, and that's Romans chapter 12. He really covered this well. Romans chapter 12, and of course he preached his entire message from this. And in verse 1 and 2, and this has to do with the judgment of self. Judging ourself. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that's for you to do. And there must be the judgment of self. We must see that. And I believe that when we judge ourselves, then of course we have the proper fellowship. So first of all, there is the judgment of our sins. The penalty was at Calvary. There is the judgment of self in time in our lives, and this has to do with fellowship. And then there is, of course, the judgment seat of Christ. And that has to do with rewards. Now, all three of these have to do with the saved. This judgment would take place immediately following the rapture of the saints. Paul writes of this in 2 Corinthians. And there in chapter 5, and in verse 9 and in verse 10. Now think of it. And when you read here in the context of this, or when you read these thoughts, now think of it as the judgment seat of Christ and who it is that's going to be the judge. Our sins were judged at Calvary. We judge ourselves here by the Word of God, by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit that leads us at what the Word of God tells us. And then there's the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Now notice, wherefore we labor. Now you all know, recently I preached this 2 Corinthians 5 down through here, being asked for the bodies to be present with the Lord. Now keep this in mind. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent. I mean, in this body or absent from this body. Whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, I think that has to do with some judgment. There must be some judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I believe there are certain things that are deterrents. I believe there are certain things that are restraints. I always believe that the child that is correctly disciplined at home, to some extent, it will deter them from doing things that they ought not to do. Now, I'm not talking about 100%. And I believe that even when we as a society of law, when we mete out the punishment that the law demands, then I believe that it is a deterrent. And I believe even among those that are saved by the grace of God, knowing that one day that we will have to stand, that we will be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, causes us to think. I believe it even causes us to live godly. Look at this. Look at this thought. With this in mind, look at this thought. 1 John chapter 3. And you know, we read verse 1 and we read verse 2. And we sometimes we don't get to verse 3. We sort of drop off. But in 1 John 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, look at it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now look at verse 3. And every man, that's every individual, that is every person that is saved by the grace of God and is looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also knowing the truth that you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when I came before my parents, and this was brought out during a meeting, when I came before our parents, I've often, you know, we said, well, he's killing me, you know. I never did have any idea or thought that my dad was going to kill me. There's times probably that in a childlike way, I wished I could have died, they'd gotten out of it or something, you know, the punishment and all and everything. But I never did. I never did fear that he was going to kill me. But there was that reverential fear. He was my dad. He's the authority. And even as those that are saved by the grace of God, we are not going to suffer an eternal punishment. But the thing of it is, because that was taken care of in the judgment of our sins at Calvary, the penalty was paid. And even though we know that, yet there is that reverential fear and that respect that we have for God, that we want to please him. He said, every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so this brings us back to the judgment seat of Christ. I realize, and you know, and I've preached this in detail many times, that only believers, only those that are saved by the grace of God, will appear there. The judgment of the believer's works, and he will either be rewarded or he will suffer loss. I've often thought, and I believe the best place to document this from the Scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's familiar. And it's familiar to you. And there in verse 9 down through verse 15. And you'll notice in the context as to what it says. It says, for we are laborers. Now keep that in mind. For we are laborers. What did he say in 2 Corinthians 5:9? What did he say in the very first part of 2 Corinthians 5:9? Wherefore we labor. Now notice the continuity of this. And here back here in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Now we might as well face this. We're laboring together. I mean, I'm not the only one that's laboring here for the Lord. You're laboring for the Lord here just as much as I am. You have just as much a privilege and just as much as responsibility as I have. We are laborers together. And he goes on and says, with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. And of course, we know this is the wise master builder. We know what the context of this is. No other foundation can no man lay, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now, tie that in back with what we said earlier in 2 Corinthians 5:9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. He said, no other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now this has to do with the believer, the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment has nothing to do with our sins. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever to do with our sins. Our sins were judged at Calvary. The penalty for our sins was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Paul said. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. So what will happen here is the motives of our service for the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed. Much that we do today, we have to admit, is wood, hay, and stubble. It's hard to admit that, isn't it? Only that which is motivated by love and for the glory of God will be that which will be rewarded. I believe because of these three judgments, we should think soberly. We should act justly. We should serve lovingly. We should study diligently. We should speak truthfully. We should pray fervently. We should look and long for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul spoke of that day when he wrote to young Timothy, and I'm going to close with these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you'd like to notice these with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and there in verse 6 through verse 8, it says this. And I believe that every one of us ought to be able, by the grace of God, to say the same thing. You know, we use Paul as an example, and we're of like passion, and men like the Apostle Paul, we serve the same God. And he said here, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There's these three judgments. The judgment of our sins at Calvary, paid. Penalty paid. Then there comes the judgment of self. And you have to do that to really have fellowship with the Lord. And the greatest thing that can happen to us in this life is to be able to fellowship with the Lord. And when we're able to do that, then we can fellowship one with another. It's a joy to be able to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And people that love the Lord and love the truth. These three judgments are the saved. The judgment of our sins was the cross. It was a substitutionary death. The judgment of self has to do with separation. And the judgment of our sins was substitutionary. But the judgment of self has to do with separation from the world. And the judgment seat of Christ has to do with our service. And how thankful we ought to be. And I believe that when Paul penned these words here in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, I believe he had in mind all of these three judgments. Paul knew that his sins, the penalty of his sins, was paid. He said, he spoke many times. He said, I am confident of this very thing. Sometimes he would say, I am persuaded. And I believe that the only confidence and persuasion that we have is by knowing these great truths that come to us from God's Word. And what a true blessing, what a true blessing that it is tonight to be saved by the grace of God. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we pray that this would be the time that God would be pleased to reveal unto you your condition as a sinner and reveal unto you that there is a Savior. and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. That He also would grant you repentance and faith, and that you would come to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You would turn from sin, but you would also turn to the Lord Jesus Christ.